This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Donald Fraser was the recipient of a Courage to Come Back Award from Coastal Health in 2005 after his lengthy struggle with schizophrenia, which began during his studies at University of British Columbia. After a two-decade-long odyssey through the mental health treatment system, Don is now able to live with a sense of peace, work again, and give talks and lectures about mental health and mental illness. Donald Fraser is a musician, writer, and outdoorsman. He lives in Nanaimo, British Columbia, and he shares his story with us today.
Welcome to People First Radio, Don.
Thank you.
In reading a little bit about you in your childhood and youth, you developed interests in music. I see that you were a city kid and a country kid. Tell us a little bit about your childhood and youth.
Well, I had a pretty magical childhood. I had all the things that kids have. I had a nice home and nice things provided for me. I had good schools, and as you say, we're city and country. We moved north in 1971 and made a go of it there, and lots of musical interests you mentioned. I was in a band and played in a rock band and enjoyed that, and really had a pretty nice kid childhood life.
The first symptoms of schizophrenia appeared when you were a student at the University of British Columbia. Don, what was that like?
Well, I started to hallucinate, and I wasn't on narcotics or anything. I just started to visually hallucinate. It was pretty rough. It was pretty scary, and it was very difficult. My studies started to drop off, and I didn't feel like studying, and it just got progressively worse over the next couple of years. My visual hallucinations are not typical of schizophrenia, but nonetheless, they are a symptom. It got so bad that I had to be hospitalized and given medication for the visual hallucinations. And I went through a sort of a delusory process where I thought I was somebody I wasn't, and it was a very difficult time for me, and basically lost the life that that I'd hoped for my childhood to through high school and university.
So during your studies, as you were a student at the University of British Columbia, did you share any of these experiences with anybody? What were your connections like?
Well, I only shared the delusions, which made no sense at all to anybody. They thought I was just high on drugs or something. I mean, this is what happens a lot of times with people. A student will say things that are way out there or something, and they'll say, the parents will just say, oh, well, you're high on drugs, and the person is actually suffering symptoms of a mental illness. No, they just thought I was high on drugs or, that kind of thing, nobody seemed to mind. It just didn't matter. I wasn't really treated until a couple of years later, so my prognosis was a lot worse. Overall.
What was your first involvement with the mental health system?
Well, it was when I was about 21 or 22. I wound up in the UBC Health Sciences Center and was committed there. And I don't really remember the early times. I think I've kind of blocked them out. But I just remember waking up in bed and my whole family was there. And they were just sort of reassuring me that I was going to be okay. And that was it. I just woke up in a hospital bed. And the whole thing's like a blur. It just, I obviously must have been in some danger because I was probably running around the streets, showing people, oh, look up in the sky and look at this and look at that,
So that was the beginning of this two-decade-long...
Yeah, the two-decade, actually more than that. It's been 32 years now, three decades. It's the whole experience was just wild hallucinations, visual-style hallucinations, almost like one that's high on some drug or something. And but it doesn't go away. So the hallucinations are simply described by me when I was ill as being visions. That's how I would tell people. I'd say, oh, I'm having a vision of this and this and this. And some people actually believed me. Of course, it got to the point where I couldn't function on a daily basis. I couldn't function. I couldn't perform. I couldn't do anything. The visions got so bad that I couldn't carry on a normal life. And then, of course, I had to be hospitalized.
So as a young student going through all of these, what I would consider traumatic experiences, how did this affect the relationships?
In school, people just laughed at me. You know, they said, oh, you're crazy. And, of course, it turned out that I found out that 2 years later, yes, I was, and I had to go to hospital. But I was in denial for many, many years, and I think a lot of people with schizophrenia go through the same problem with the denial process. And they don't really believe that they have a mental illness. They sort of shrug it off. They say, oh, well, this is just, you know, part of living. You know, part of daily living is for me to hallucinate. They sort of incorporate that aspect into their lives. They just sort of become sort of immune to, numb to it. Yeah, numb to it. That's the word I'm looking for. Numb to it. And they just say, oh, well, that's just me, you know. Unfortunately, when it gets to the point where they can't carry on a daily basis, they can't get up and go to work and do things that normal people do, then it breaks down and they have to be hospitalized. Yeah, I mean, the relationships really were affected. I mean, I had a bride-to-be and everything, and it all went down the tubes. So it was all taken away. Those two decades were like an up-and-down roller coaster where nothing clicked, nothing worked. There was nothing, just nothing worked out. You know, I mean, it was all just a mad maze of visual hallucinations, and then me being hospitalized, and then I'd be released from hospital. I'd go to a boarding home, or I'd go to my own apartment, and then I'd go off the medications because I thought that, oh, well, I rationalized. I feel so good. I don't need medications anymore. So I'll go off the medications, and then, of course, I began to hallucinate again. I thought, oh, this is great. I'm having visions. And then I just went back to hospital. So I was in denial like a lot of people with this illness are. And it's just one of the symptoms of the illness is to be in denial.
You're listening to People First Radio. When Donald Fraser was awarded a Courage to Come Back Award by Coastal Health in 2005, he told the province newspaper that his award belongs to all of the mentally ill people who have had the courage to come back. Donald was a student at University of British Columbia when he first experienced the symptoms of schizophrenia. After a two-decade-long odyssey through the mental health treatment system, Don is now able to live with a sense of peace, work again, and give talks and lectures about mental health and mental illness. And Don Fraser is in the studio with us today.
Don, you said that it's been a little bit longer than two decades since this diagnosis. What would you say at this point? What was or is currently the biggest part of your struggle with schizophrenia?
I'm doing much better now than I have say 10 years ago. About 7 years ago, I saw a specialist in schizophrenia, and they diagnosed other problems that I had, including a mood disorder and an epileptic disorder. That's why I got the award, because I had made such a dramatic recovery from chronic schizophrenia to relative sanity from being completely insane and locked up for the rest of my life. So I was able to function in a individual setting, independent setting. I had been able to receive a treatment for the schizophrenia and the other brain disorders that I have. Today, I'm doing fairly well. I still work. I still give talks for the BC Schizophrenia Society, educating nurses and high school kids. We teach myself and the Partners in Education person at the BC Schizophrenia Society, teach about early intervention and what a valuable tool it is, early intervention being catching schizophrenia when you're still young and being treated for it right away, which I wasn't. I guess maybe it's gratifying to know that you can help others by your own experience and showing them that the modern medications that they have now, the atypical meds, are much more effective than the older medications that they had when I first started this lifelong thing, because it's a lifelong experience. It's not something that happens and then, 30 years later it goes away. It's a lifelong illness. There's no cure and there's no cause. So, you know, it's a constant companion.
What is your advice to the community? How can the community best support someone who is mentally ill?
The community is tired of giving handouts to people who are mentally ill. And I think this is justifiable. I think that mentally ill people have as much as any other poor person, you know. I think that mentally ill people should work if they're able to work. And I think that's important. I don't think that mentally ill people should be lazy and just not work if they're able to. You know, there's a workforce there in the mentally ill. Help? Well, just knowing that a person with a mental illness is less likely to be violent than a normal person, percentage-wise. So not to be afraid of a mentally ill person is helpful.
Yeah, that's kind of a misconception there. Are there any, have you come across any other misconceptions in this journey?
Well, one of the straight truths is that half of the homeless are mentally ill. This was a poll in Vancouver. Half of the homeless in Vancouver were mentally ill. And of that half, 70% were abusing substances or had a substance abuse addiction. Drug addiction. So that's a big one.
Well, we have just a moment left, Don. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to our conversation today?
No, I just I wish you well. I think this is a great show. I was happy when Columbia Center brought about this show. I think People First Radio is terrific. I love you guys.
Thanks, Don. We love you too.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming into the studio and sharing your story with us today.
You're welcome.
We really appreciated it.
Donald Fraser lives and works in Nanaimo, British Columbia, and has been a regular participant in education programs offered by the British Columbia Schizophrenia Society, speaking to students, parents, and caregivers about his experiences and what he has learned. For more information about schizophrenia, you can find the British Columbia Schizophrenia Society online at bcss.org. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society, broadcast on Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY Radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of those organizations.